The following program is brought to you in living color.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation.
What's up, Kelly?
What's up, Mark?
I didn't know if I should fade out the same exact time I fade out in every single episode of WannaCropcast, but I did, and you took the cue, so there you go. It worked out.
Just stab it.
As soon as Carrie falls, when I bring the mix down.
Here we go.
There we go.
We are obviously talking about Little House on the Prairie for this episode of Landed Nation.
It's true.
We are talking about Bully Boys. We are finally getting around to recording this, which we originally were going to be recording this, but then my second born decided that he couldn't wait any longer. Yeah.
Double born.
My double baby.
Double born baby.
Yeah, decided he couldn't wait any longer.
Actually, that's pretty accurate, right? It's a double born baby.
Yeah. And then we kind of were like, I don't know why it took us this long to get back to it, because we just were recording other things, I guess. But now we finally are coming back to doing Bully Boys.
Is
while
it
I have my 6-month-old in my lap.
Is it true that you guys considered naming him Seven?
Seven. Well, no, but we did think about Bubba.
That would have been awesome.
No, Bubba.
Bubba.
Like, why is his name Bubba? That's Bubba. Like a dog's name or something. I don't know. That's crazy.
I remember there was a DJ, which I never listened to. I just knew his name, and it's a disgusting sounding name. But Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, like I know
what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he was one of the, like, that's the only other Bubba I kind of know.
Yeah, that's kind of a gross name. Bubba the Love Sponge, that is like a really gross
name. It's nasty, right?
I do not like that.
Paint a picture.
I do not like that at all.
Not sponge-worthy. Two Seinfeld jokes.
Yeah, I know, like, how many Seinfeld? Well, we're just talking about the I know what a reservation is. I don't think you do.
Yeah, I love the way it's delivered.
I do increasingly, though, as I'm experiencing more of life, I feel like I have like a Seinfeld episode happening in my life, you know, like at least once a week. Like, I'm like, this seems like it'd be a Seinfeld, you know, something ridiculous is happening, and I'm like, this seems like it'd be a Seinfeld episode.
I think that's why you may enjoy Curb Your Enthusiasm whenever you get around to it, because it really is an extension. The thing that's crazy is I think Seinfeld went off the air in 2001, maybe. I don't know for sure about that, but or maybe it went off in 99, and it was only like two or 3 years later that Curb Your Enthusiasm was brought.
Yeah, I want to say maybe it was like 99, because I don't remember it being like into like the 2000s. But let me, wait, were there 8 or 9 seasons? It was 9, right?
Yeah, I think.
And I think it started like in 1990, didn't it? So it was probably like 99.
I want to say it was 99. I feel like they didn't make it to 2000.
Well, now I need to look it up. Because
when it was canceled. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't canceled. But yeah, I mean, I love Seinfeld. It's one of those shows I can just kind of watch all the time.
1989 to 98.
Oh, all right. Yeah. But yeah, and I think 2000 or 2001 is when Curb Your Enthusiasm started. So you really kind of do get like this weird continuation of similar humor. I think you'd like it. But
I've seen like a little bit of it, but yeah, I should just dive in and watch it.
But don't you hate when you have to say to somebody like, do you ever watch Seinfeld? And it's like, because if you haven't seen Seinfeld, you're not going to get this joke. You know, it's one of those type of things.
I've actually had that. And I've had that like at work and stuff. Like, I don't know. And there are like some coworkers that have like inside jokes with where we'll use like a Seinfeld reference for like, you know, whatever the situation is, like while like these kind of recurring situations where we'll use a Seinfeld reference, and then it's like, well, if you haven't watched Seinfeld, then you're just gonna be clueless.
And I hate describing
and then we're like laughing, you know, but then it's like, well, you don't get it because you don't watch Seinfeld.
I hate explaining it. Like, I really do. Like when when Kramer finds the entire Tonight Show set.
Oh, that's one of our favorite episodes. That is one of our favorites. I love it.
It is so funny. And it's like explaining that to somebody is just, I don't know, it loses all of its character and fun.
Yeah, that's one of the best episodes, yeah. Like hands down. I love it.
Yeah, there's so many like weird things going on in that particular episode.
I love right. when he like takes the break and he like has a little snack.
Yeah, like I was just thinking of that.
And now we're back.
And we'll be right back. It's like, who are you talking to? So funny. All right, let's get back to Butley Boys.
But back to the Little House. Back to Michael Landon. Yeah, he's... so this episode, which I think I had picked this one back in, you know, the summer, like July when we were going to do it. Because this is one of those episodes where, like, I think for a while, like, I was not, like, really enamored with it. Like, I was just kind of like, you know, whatever. It's not, like, the worst episode, but it's not great. Mm-hmm. But then I'm just like watching it, you know, and it just like happens to me where I'm just like, actually, this is like pretty good. Like, I was like, I don't know why, like, I didn't really like this so much before.
Well, Jeffrey Lewis is fun to watch. I think that the guy is so, I don't know, like, he just makes me laugh no matter what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, this role here is like not even like funny. Like, no. He's not really like comedic, but you still kind of like watching him in it. And as a side note, he has a daughter named Juliet with the same spelling as Jules. So we have that in common.
There you go. You and Sam.
Yeah, we're like the same, basically.
You and the Gellenders.
Yeah, I'm basically, I'm going to teach you real good how to belly crawl.
The Gellenders.
But anyway, like, so I'm like, you know, just sort of watching it, and it kind of like hit me that Michael Landon actually has like some pretty good scenes in this episode, and the kind of stuff that I think we kind of like seeing from Michael Landon, we kind of like seeing these kinds of things from Pa, where like when he, and I think like specifically, and I point out in the notes where, you know, the episode's kind of progressing, you know, the Gallanders suck, we're kind of like figuring out what's going on with them, and then like when there's the little run-in you know, with Caroline and the eggs. Oh, and man.
It's a crazy scene, actually.
It is a crazy scene. And then the scene after that, when she's telling Charles what happens and his acting in that scene, like, you're just like, oh, this is like the Pa that I love to see. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're just like, this is like, you know, like the Charles Ingalls who will like stick up for his wife, like, no matter what, like, you know, like, just like, we'll go crazy, like, stick up for his family. You're like, this is like the kind of like Charles that we like seeing. And I think that Michael Landon like pulls that off really well. Like, it's just really believable. And you're just all like rooting for Pa, you know, like, I just think it's really great.
Well, I found, I went to IMDb and I was reading some of the user reviews, which I'll just do once in a blue moon. And, this person's very confused. So there's two of them that are kind of interesting. One, this person gave a 6 out of 10, and the heading is "How to Handle Bullies." It says Reverend Aiden.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Reverend Aiden was stupid in this episode. Turning the other cheek is good teaching, but not always good advice. So basically, they're mostly just mad that they didn't teach the lesson of how to handle bullies, but they kind of did. So, I don't know. This person goes on and on.
I think they have a point about Reverend Alden. Like, I get pretty frustrated with
him. Yeah, me too.
At some points in this episode. Well, because he is not even, it's not even so much just, like, turn the other cheek. Like, he's actually, like, when he asks Caroline if she misinterpreted, it's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they were basically, like, assaulting her, and you're like, oh, are you sure that, like, they weren't just, like, I don't know, being nice? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just really weird.
Well, this particular review ended with two very confusing sentences. This was a good episode, painful to watch. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a man. That goes for women.
That's...
yeah, it's incorrect. Something's wrong there. You're missing words.
Yeah, like, it's like, what are you trying to say here?
The other person gave it a 4 out of 10. They said, I know it's a movie, but it could have been better acted.
Well, it's actually a TV show. Whatever.
It is an issue poorly handled from the beginning. Even though Walnut Grove is a small town, it's hard to believe that there isn't a police station for residents to ask for help with misfits like these. A police station, huh? All right. Mm. Continuing with the absurdities, I didn't think it was really an absurdity to not have a police station in 1876.
Right.
It is clumsy, and I have to agree with this. It is clumsy that Charles is going to confront these two thugs alone. Did Michael Landon think he was playing Superman and not Charles Ingalls? How dare you, sir?
Well, I mean, they're one and the same, are they not?
Well, you know, it's a fact that Charles Ingalls was up for the role of Superman in 1977.
Of course.
And I actually read that on ChatGPT.
So I actually think there is something to be said for that, too. Like, you know, like that he didn't, not to like the Superman thing, but like going back to that, like that he's doing it like by himself. I mean, it's like you could have, I mean, Mr. Edwards, like you need to tell me that he doesn't want to go kick some ass. Like, I mean, it's like you could have gotten him to help you and maybe even some other people. I don't know. Lars Hansen seemed pretty fired up. I know he's a little older, but like, I don't know. Maybe he could help you out a little bit.
I thought the town was a little bit of a pushover. From being honest.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, he probably could have gotten people to help when he's all like, oh, it's my family. I need to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Like, so it was like, yeah, I mean, obviously Mary was getting like, you know, picked on and everything. And then Caroline, they were harassing. But it's also like they've been screwing over the entire town. Mm-hmm. So like, you need to tell me, I mean, it's like, why are you the only one that has to go kick their butts? Like, it's like the whole town is being screwed over by them and picked on by them and everything. So it's like, get other people gang up on them, which like the kids ultimately end up doing, you know, in the schoolyard with Bubba. But it's like, you probably could have had the whole town. Well, even at the end, I mean, they do drive them out, right? Like the whole town does band together, but it's like, you probably could have gotten like some cooperation a little. Unless like, are we supposed to believe that the Reverend was just sort of making everybody be nice, I guess?
I feel like some of it was filmed out of order. Like there's a little bit of weirdness stuff later on in the episode, but yeah. So let's hear these guys kind of talk. You know, Sam yelling at George.
George, Bubba, get a move on. The days are wasted.
Why can't he? He squeezes his eyes closed so tightly. It's just water. It's just some, you know, well water that probably has rocks and gravel in it.
What's the hurry, Sam?
It's time Bubba got to school.
Why do I gotta go to that old school anyway?
Well, I'll tell you why. One of these days you're gonna pick up a man's poke. It's gonna have a dollar in it and a quarter and a dime and a nickel and how much you got.
Well, I don't know how much.
$1.50. Yeah.
It's really funny. So little things like that, I think, make for this episode to, you know, be, you know, it's a fun episode. But you're right.
I like the music, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, and the mouth harp. So let's see where they head over to the mercantile.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I see you like the pears.
Well, mighty tasty.
They're also not inexpensive.
I don't mind a good pear, if I'm being honest. Well,
I haven't had pears for a while, but I used to like eating them quite a bit. Yeah.
It's 20 cents a peck.
What's that he's holding? That, like, material?
Fine.
Yeah, I think it's cloth.
We'll take a bushel.
Might I help you with anything else?
As a matter of fact, there is. We're going to be moving here to Walnut Grove permanent, and we have been out on the road, and we've used up all our provisions.
Oh, well, you've come to the right place. Olson's Mercantile does have the largest selection of supplies in all of Hero Township. I'm Mrs. Olson.
He just eats the pear and throws the core out the front door.
Yeah. Well, so I was pointing out in my notes that I think this is a really good Harriet Olson scene. Mm-hmm. And even just like where your paws are here, like this look on her face, kind of as she's dealing with these customers that like she doesn't know them,
yeah,
and it's like she's clearly pretty uncomfortable with them, which it's like not a lot do we see her actually like really uncomfortable with people. And it's, so it's kind of interesting to see her being so visibly uncomfortable, and not like, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that she's actually uncomfortable quite a bit more, but it's like, if she knows the person, she's just sort of like her personality, right? Where she's kind of like, we know that she kind of puts up a front and stuff, because like she's really, she does have like kind of a soft side, but
I think she would normally be really obnoxious to these people, but being that they're spending money, she's going to put up with it.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, I can see where you're coming from there, but like the way that I kind of am like reading her in this scene is that like she kind of seems, she just seems like uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. I mean, she is completely like,
yeah,
this is, you know, because they're acting almost like Edward would act in some ways, and she hates Edward, and she always seems uncomfortable around him, and they're always bickering.
Well, pleased to meet you, ma'am. George Gallagher, and that's my brother Sam.
How do you do?
How do you do?
You wouldn't happen to have these in a 9.5, would you?
Actually, no, I don't have your size. I do have your size, however, in a much finer shoe. Of course, it is rather expensive.
Well, price is no matter.
Oh, well, that's what I always say. It doesn't matter as long as the quality is good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, so she's like, woohoo, I'm going to make a super sale. Nels pops in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Nels. This is Mr. Sam and Mr. George Gallander. They've just settled in Walnut Grove.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. I hope you find the town to your liking.
Well, if everyone is kind as your wife, I'm sure we will.
And the guy smoking in the store. This freeze frame again. That's funny. The second time I got this accidentally.
Yeah, that's really hilarious.
But yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't think I've ever seen anybody smoking in the store.
Oh, thank you. Now, let's see. Your bill comes to exactly $16.75.
Well, that's just fine. You can charge it to our account.
Let me see that. I'm sorry. I'm afraid my wife didn't explain that it is not our policy to extend credit.
Uh-oh.
This is one of my favorite lines right here, actually.
I'm afraid you have to put that on our bill.
Not that one, but this one.
This one.
Sorry.
George, don't fool around with the glassware.
See his face? See George's face?
Yeah. So I guess there is, like, we did just say that this was, like, not a funny episode. But, I mean, like, okay, stuff like that actually is kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, and even the joke before with him not being able to do the math.
The matter is, I have a bank draft that's due here on Friday, at which time I'd be only too glad to settle up with you.
Oh.
Friday.
Yes.
Well, I guess that would be all right.
So he's extending credit, no cash on the barrel. Which is, I think this is totally not normal for them to do. They don't know these people.
Speaking of their, like, not normalness, usually Mrs. Olson is the one who's all like, oh, we're not extending credit. And she's really, like,
right,
really, like, almost obnoxious at people about it. And then, like, with them, she just is very, like, she's, like, deferring to Nels, basically, to take care of it, which is, like, really out of character for her, I think.
Yeah, I think so. The whole thing is very strange, and she's also the very first person to say no. They head over to Hanson.
Got some customers here.
Oh, well, that is what we are in business for. What can I do for you?
Sam Gallander's my name. This here is my brother, George. We'd like to buy some lumber.
Ah, what do you want to use it for?
Well, we've taken that old place across the way here. Figured to put a new roof on and place some of studding.
Oh, Edward's old place. Well, you need plenty of lumber for that, all right.
So, yeah, you point out it's like Edward's old place, but Edward's is now living with,
well, he got married, right, to the widow Snyder, and they have the kids.
But, I feel like later on this house, it's a different house.
Well, so when in the Enchanted Cottage in season 5, when they think Mary's going to get her sight back and Albert and Laura painted, I'm pretty sure they say it's the old Edwards house. But that one, like, kind of seems to be in town, kind of, because it seems like everyone's sort of, like, gathering. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to figure out, like, where it is. Because, like, in that episode, it's like, well, this kind of seems like it's, like, in town. But then I was like, I never really had the impression, like, that Mr. Edwards lived in town, right?
The Enchanted Cottage feels... And also, he had a watermelon, farm.
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't...
He had a hidden still and stuff like that. I don't know. So I was like, I never really had the impression that he lived, like, in town. But then they're, like, standing at the mill, and they're like, oh, the Edwards place over there. And it's like, I mean, over where? Like, we can't see it from the shop, but it's kind of like, maybe it is really close to town. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just didn't seem that way, like, when Mr. Edwards lived there.
It also doesn't look like the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, a wagon load about...
A wagon load about is the weirdest voice.
Not like that'd do it.
I'm sorry, that is already spoke for Mr. Henderson.
Well, he's kind of hoping to get the roof on before it rained.
You know, Henderson's not going to start working this place for a couple of weeks. We'll have another load cut by then.
Well, we'd be willing to pay a premium for it, say, $2 more for the wagon load.
Oh, no. That is not necessary. $18 for Henderson, and it's $18 to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'll tell you, though, we don't have much cash because we were buying a bunch of supplies and stuff, but I do.
Cash. Yeah, like, so he extends credit, too, which doesn't make any sense. I just, they're really hosing the entire town. So, mm-hmm. so far, it's, what, $16, $18, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we up to, like, $300?
Yeah. I'm not a math
person. It's like $34. So that's quite a lot of money at this point. So especially for this town. So, you know, it's kind of strange that
these are the kind of people that go to Walmart and they'd like talk themselves out of the self checkout or something.
This is not a line.
Yeah.
Bubba shows up and he's like, I'm going to be everybody's good friend.
Let me show you how to do that.
The hand thing is very funny.
Yeah.
Like this.
It's really funny. Like he kind of does this little, like, he grabs the ball and does this weird little kind of gesture, like, go over there, like, stay back, kind of.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of him Back to the Future, where it's like, Dork thinks he's going to drown.
I think that this kid does decently for, like, a one-time kid, you know, on the show.
Is this the girl, like, who gets hit? I mean, is it this close of a person? No, can't be. It cannot be. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's terrible. That's like the worst thing I've ever seen. So Laura's going to be the upstanding citizen.
That's no fair. You have to bounce the ball first.
What's it to you, Pee-wee?
That's the rule. You could hurt someone.
How do you get the ball back so quickly?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
You play a sissy game.
If it's such a sissy game, what do you want to play for?
No, I wonder, is sissy a word that they would have used in the 19th century?
Good question.
When I was a kid, that was a big word. You get called a sissy, you're gonna get yourself beaten up.
You'd be taught real good how to belly crawl.
Right. Wait, what was that?
Well, you'd first better go talk to your papa, because if you remember, my brothers taught him real good how to belly crawl.
That's so long.
Laura!
Here we go, stupid Mary.
Laura, stop it! Stop it! My fault!
This kid in the back, she's like, oh, what's going on? I'm not used to drama in Walnut Grove.
He wouldn't get away with that if the bigger boys were here.
He throws too hard, Mary. Stop it. Hurt Cindy.
Bubba, you're older and bigger. That's why we have rules, so the little kids don't get hurt.
This is, I mean...
She's already wincing way before he hits her.
I'm wincing. I can't believe they had a kid hit another kid. A girl. Like,
yeah, that is actually pretty crazy. Where is Miss Beetle, by the way?
Right? She's inside, smoking in the back.
Yeah, she's inside making out with her boyfriend or something.
Right, she's just, yeah.
That's happened before. Mary
we
walked in
totally
and
hit it
like
again,
that.
But yeah. I prefer to give that.
So here, Mary gets a, you know, really hit. It's knocked down.
Well, that's my rule.
So her face.
Well, and then she rings a bell and Mary is just like on the ground and this is just fine. I don't know. This seems crazy.
And I'm surprised no one ran to Miss Beadle right away.
Right. That's true.
So he threatens him. He's like, you better not say nothing. I think there's got to be a couple double negatives coming out of this kid constantly, right?
From now on, we're going to play by my rules. If you know what's good for you, you better not go snitching to Miss Beadle.
So, yeah. They talk about the what they should do. They should have gone right to Pa, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the way that,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so they don't want Pa to know about it, or Mary doesn't want Pa to know about it. I'm not really sure I understand, because it's like not like she did anything wrong.
Right.
So I don't really understand why she doesn't want Pa to know about it.
I mean, and he's going to know about something, because look at that thing. It's disgusting. So let's see. Charles comes home. Oh.
My lovely ladies this evening.
I've been helping, Pa.
I've been helping, Pa.
That is actually a rarely legible line of hers.
Yeah.
What are you doing, sweetheart?
Milking.
You've been milking, huh?
What are you doing, all my chores for me?
Well, Cal was making a fuss, and I didn't want the roast to wait until you finished milking.
No, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Is that the name of the cow? Cal?
Cow, yeah, they always just call her cow, I think.
I feel like you should name the cow.
Liberty make. This fella's moved into the old Edwards place. We're gonna fix it up.
I could use it.
Sure could, and I could use some roast. Take me just a minute to unhitch the team.
Roast? What are they, rich? So we get a good look at the Shiner for the first time, and I'm guessing it's not ice. But
yeah, I mean, I said in my notes like icing it, but I mean, like, I think it's maybe like a piece of meat or something,
or a wet, isn't that like just a wet rock?
Yeah.
Does it look any better, Laura?
What if this is what would cause her to go blind one day?
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, she goes to the doctor, and that's actually next season, right? Like,
some type of Mary nerve ever, damage, you know?
Has Mary ever been punched in the eye? Yeah.
See, that would have been interesting. But no.
Does it look any better?
I don't want to look. I'm going to throw up again.
Look, some. It's mostly changing in color.
Well, not to say anything to Pa, you hear?
All right. But I don't see why not.
Mary, Laura, time for supper.
Crap. So, yeah, so they go down.
Is this, like, January? It's, like, dark out.
Yeah, well, it's
like, totally dark out when Pa got home. I mean, they did say he was working late, but
but what is this, like, seven or maybe it could be, well, yeah, if it's summertime or even spring, 7 o'clock would still be a little bit light out.
Right.
So let's see. They come down and Pa gets the first look at his beautiful daughter.
What'd you do to your eye?
Mary had an accident today.
Why'd you do that?
Why'd you do
that? Also, by the way, if I were Ma, I'd probably like mention it to Pa. Like when he gets home.
Right, yeah.
Instead of just like he sees her for the first time. Whoa, what happened to your eye?
Right. It's kind of like she looks like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I got hit in the dodgeball game.
That seems like a funny way to get a black eye.
Not funny, really. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I managed it. But it's a lot better. It doesn't hurt hardly at all.
I bet you the girl who got hit didn't get a bruise like that.
It's a good thing she didn't have her glasses on.
Oh, that could have been serious.
Yes, sir, I know. But it's
four
all right.
Eyes, four eyes.
Yeah.
Four eyes.
It's a good thing.
Give me a poultice.
You make sure you use it tonight. That swelling ought to be down by tomorrow morning.
A poultice. That's what she had.
Say it again.
A poultice. That's what she had.
A poultice? What is that?
We've been over this before.
We have?
I think on Dr. Quinn cast, we talked about it. Right. It's like a sort of like a little pack. You know, like I think it usually would contain like herbs and
like a little sash,
mm-hmm.
a little tea sash or something like mm-hmm.
We should totally hit it again. Yeah.
It's pause like stash.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
THC goes through the skin. So let's see. With what should we play next?
So I think that probably. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a repetitive. Maybe like the seesaw thing. Like, so they're, you know, basically like they go to bed that night, and then like Laura's all like, "Oh, let's get back at him," and Mary's like, "No, just drop it." And then we're like the next day at school, and then like Bubba just like won't let up.
Now, that conversation kind of did remind me a little bit of when Laura was being, had the focus of the crabapple teacher, you know, and how she's like, no, you'll make it worse. And they didn't listen.
True.
Your eye looks much better, Mary.
Thanks. That's not what everyone else says.
No, really, it does.
And yeah, like Miss Beetle should be a little bit aware that one of her students has a black eye. Probably the other kids are complaining on some level.
Honest. Does it still hurt?
Not much.
That music is pretty great.
Hey!
Hey, what?
Come on, Mom, let's go.
Let's go.
Kid's like,
my letter is T.
That's a very good trick. I don't think it's too much.
Maybe you'd like to try it?
The seesaw's for two people.
Well, I got it now.
I'll give you a sour ball if you let me use it.
I love this, like, interaction with Nelly. It's kind of like... like, he needs to, like, sample the goods.
Mm-hmm. You got candy?
Yeah, my pa's got lots of it in the store.
Bet you can get all you want, huh? Every day?
I'll bring you some if we're friends.
Let me see the sour ball.
I don't really want to be a friend, but...
All right, you can use the seesaw.
He even, like, tastes it, too. Like,
yeah.
Would he have tasted... It's actually almost like, because he is a bully, he could have just been like, nope, thanks for the candy.
Right, nope.
I said her.
Poor Willie. So Nelly, of course, is just scheming.
Isn't that just like that, Nelly? Making up to that old bully, giving him candy.
There's one good thing about it.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Maybe they'll both wind up with rotten teeth.
Well, that's a long game right there.
Yeah, right. By the time they're 30, they're going to have no teeth. That's sort of a character trait of Nelly's that'll bribe people with candy.
I want to see what you're talking about with the one leg up. Oh, yeah.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Henderson. How are you?
But those stairs don't look like they're made correctly or something. Mm. Like, I can imagine... It looks like he's having a problem with his leg.
Yeah, like, I wonder if he just has a leg problem. Could or if it was just injured in this episode.
I think I read that when he was 9 years old, he was in a one-legged race. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Somebody fell on it, broke his leg.
The shoe is not the run.
So he learns that his that the bully boys basically took all of that lumber and resold it. I guess at a profit because they didn't pay for it.
Right.
For, you know, a couple dollars less. And it's, I don't know, this is like where the scam kind of like really starts. So let's see, Hanson goes
and then,
over.
Well, some of the stuff is kind of funny in this episode because it's like when Lars figures it out, they kind of like zoom in on his face, you know, like that's kind of funny. And then they like zoom in on George's face. When
like this?
Pause. Yeah. There's like some stuff like that that I think is actually kind of humorous.
Yeah. By the way, they're using a real saw here. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, so that actually kind of freaks me out.
Me too.
Because I'm like, you're using like a real saw, and it's actually really crazy.
When there have been times where they're using a real saw, right? And then there'll be some type of dramatic scene happening.
Yeah. Or sometimes they'll like be kind of looking up, like, so I actually always think, so people are always like approaching them and just start talking at them mm-hmm. while they're operating this saw. And then they like look up and they're like talking and I'm like, but you're like operating a saw and it's like scary.
And table saws to me are some of the scariest tools.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's literally totally
a spinning blade.
Yeah.
Know, that's just and, suspended above like a piece of metal. Like it's the most dangerous thing.
Right. And then like when Jonathan Garvey comes onto the scene in season 4.
Yeah.
And he has that back problem. And as we learn, like, he had that bottle of booze. You know, like, he's working at the mill. And he's, like, drinking booze. Like, he's all like, oh, I'll be right back. I gotta take my medicine. And he was, like, looking for his booze. And it's like, but you're, like, operating, like, this saw.
Right,
and
you're just exactly.
Drinking and, like, operating a saw. And, like, this is actually pretty crazy.
Now, I do want to mention, Isaiah's using a push stick in his right hand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a, you know, it's a good, safer way of pushing the wood through. But there have been times where I've seen Charles do it with no push stick, just his hands.
Oh, yeah, he uses his hands. Totally. It's crazy.
It really is. So let's see. He comes over to talk to Isaiah.
If there is one thing I cannot stand, it is a liar and a thief.
Well, I can't deny telling a story now and again, but I ain't never taken nothing.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It is the calendar. They are both liars and thieves.
I don't rightly know what you're talking about.
You know that load of lumber that Charles delivered?
Huh?
You know what they did? They sold it to Henderson, $3 cheaper. And I lose both the lumber and the order.
No matter about that, they still got to pay you for it.
Oh, yeah, sure. They pay. They lie. That's what they do. And they are not even ashamed.
I probably ought to have a talk with them.
Oh, Nels Olson already has tried. You know what they did? They took almost $20 worth of his merchandise.
We don't just take something and not pay for it.
They say they pay. You see, that way it is credit. You can't put a man in jail for his bills.
Somebody ought to take a switch of them, a big one.
This is a very different time where you can't put people in jail for bills. I think you can now.
Well, and I mean, there were debtor prisons like before this.
Yeah,
and everything.
Right.
So, I mean, it shouldn't be that foreign of an idea.
Well, back in Duval County, we had some fellows would nothing do but take them down to the creek.
And... No. That only makes trouble. I've seen this kind before. They grow tired and then they move on.
And the whole town will be broke. It's so weird. They're really, really too nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're just kind of like, oh, I just want to like not be involved. Like, I just want it to be over. And I mean, like, I kind of get that, but.
But at what point are you going to just allow these people to just take advantage of you? It seems like they're being complete pushovers, personally. So Caroline is brushing her hair, 100 brushes every night.
You should have heard Mrs. Olson at the Women's League today. Well, I thought she was going to have Nels go out and take a shotgun to those Gallagher's.
Yeah, could be the first time that woman and I ever saw eye to eye.
Well, she wasn't the only one. Seems they got a side of beef from the Mortons and hay and feed from the Stevens. All on credit.
Sounds like the same thing they pulled on Hanson. They ask me, the sooner the Gallagher's get their head knocked together, the better off this town's gonna be.
Charles, that sounds awfully harsh.
I wouldn't be so sure they're gentle folk.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they don't just all kind of get together, have a gentlemanly talk.
And then, like, you brought up Troublemaker before.
Yeah.
And this is sort of similar in a way to that so far, where, so we have Carolyn, who's all like, oh, well, this seems really harsh. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm sure that they'll be fine, like, once they kind of settle in. Mm-hmm. And Troublemaker, too, like, she's always like, oh, well, in my experience, like, teachers are always just, like, really, like, kind of nice and understanding and, like, always tell the truth, you know? And it's kind of like, I mean, yeah, it's like you kind of want to maybe assume the best of somebody, which is, I think, generally speaking, kind of, like, a good thing to do. But it's like you just listed off, like, 20 bad things.
Right, like, how many times? Yeah, like, how many times do you give the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, then it's just like, oh, wow, they stole from, like, all these people. But I'm sure that they just need to get settled in, and then it will be fine.
It's like, yeah, I think it's a really strange thing. Another thing that was mentioned earlier was how Bubba was like, oh, like, there's no other boys, and they're all, except for Willie. because mm-hmm. they're all farmers. So mm-hmm. they're all the big kids are home working. So he's, you know, when the farmers were to come back, I would love to see how they would handle Bubba.
That's true. And like the big kids, like yeah. the troublemaker and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like how yeah. they would, the 30-year-old students.
The 30-year-olds. So we're in church.
Seated, please. This morning's sermon deals with a problem that I understand.
Poor Carrie has a black eye. Everybody has black eyes.
They're like broken arms.
Right. It concerns many of you in the congregation. I know.
Even Reverend has a black eye and a yeah. sling.
Some of you.
The cross is broken.
Yeah.
Spray painted on the behind them to, you know. What is their names? What's the
Gallander?
Gallander. I want to say Gallagher, but Gallander
suffered undue cost and some abuse. But I would remind you that the Lord tests us in many ways. Some of the hymns that we sing in church.
So essentially what he says, like this, very slowly, is that they should give the benefit of the doubt to the Gallanders.
Mm-hmm.
Saying the name wrong. But, which, I don't know. I guess to a point you have to, right?
Well, no, it's like, I kind of think that, yeah, give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe assume the best intention, sure. But it's like, the only thing you know about these people that is that they've like stolen from everybody and like screwed everybody over. Mm-hmm.
So
and
far,
holy. Yes, like it's like there's yeah. like no redeeming evidence whatsoever.
Like so far, they've really not been very good neighbors. And I don't know if this is a drawing of. It's like people maybe and a circle. I don't know.
You know, you's wrong about that man's pope. A dollar, a quarter. A dime and a nickel. Well, that's not a dollar and a half. It's a dollar and 35 cents.
Well, I just thought I'd check you out. By the time you got that sum figured out.
And yeah, what is the age difference between these kids? How old is Bubba, you think? 15? 14?
Yeah, I'd guess like 14 or 15, sure.
And how old is...
I mean, then the brothers look like they're like in their 40s.
Yeah, easily. He could easily be 40. So 25-year difference.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's like, was their mother like a teenager when she had the older ones and then had like another one in her like 40s or something? Like, that's kind of the only way that it seems like it'd be possible that they're brothers.
Right. Like, I guess if you had a kid when you were 16, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to wait 25 years later. So you have to be.
So I guess maybe she 40. Had two kids when she was a teenager, and then she.
But people have babies in their early 40s, so maybe.
Yeah, no, they do. But I mean, like, so she would, because they're like the two older brothers.
Oh,
so,
the
like,
other one's maybe, even older, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Okay, so like, let's say she has one when she's like, I don't know. Let's say she's 16, and then maybe she's like 20 or something when she has the second older one, and then maybe she could be like.
The other one's like 45.
Yeah, no, it probably is.
It's not getting... So that would make her have to be about like 76 years old. Which
she ran off with a drama.
Well, we didn't get to that yet. But
no, we'll get there.
Ringo Starr.
Come on, I'll take that poke. Now give me some coffee.
But I gotta get the coffee. You don't even let me drink coffee.
I'm looking for coffee. Give me some coffee.
That's me, like, if I order coffee and it's like, yeah. Just give me coffee. Would you like a venti or a grande? Just give me a coffee.
Who's at the door?
Look at this place. You can see through the door, the wall. It's
right, like, when it rains and stuff, it would just... And plus, like, living... I mean, like, snow. I mean, I hardly ever have snow on the show, but realistically speaking... You know, living there, you'd get snow and everything. And
what is the name of the guy who's the keeper of the house for the blind school? I always forget his name.
Keeper of the house.
You know, like the caretaker.
Houston?
Yeah, Houston. Remember when he took those kids in that weird episode where he's like, I'm going to adopt these kids?
Yeah, that's such a weird episode.
This looks like the shack he was in.
Kind of, yeah.
Because
it does, actually.
It was what I refer to as a crap shack. It's basically a big outhouse. And I'm surprised people didn't make big outhouses. You know, something a little bit roomier.
Everything's an outhouse if you use it like one.
If you think about it, you just bring a shovel. Everything's an outhouse.
It's a preacher.
Well, don't just stand there, Bubba. Come in. Come on in. Reverend.
Oh, my God.
Alden.
I'd be so claustrophobic in this place.
I'm the pastor of the church here.
Sam Gallander, stand up, George.
How do you do?
Bubba, send another place for the preacher, would you?
Oh, that's not necessary.
Oh, yeah.
So they explain, basically he's like, well, you haven't been very nice to the people who, live around here.
I doubt that she'd approve of the woman.
Sorry.
Your mother sounds like a God-fearing woman. I doubt that she'd approve
what
of
is
the...
What is she, 75? That's what I should have said.
How did you take me to the people of the town since you've been here?
What's he talking about, Sam?
Oh, I don't know. If we've done something wrong, Preacher, I wish you'd spell it out.
It's funny that they just keep calling him Preacher, too.
Preacher?
Well, I'm talking about the purchases you made. The bills you ran up without any offer to pay. The outright intimidation.
You know, Reverend Alden's hanging out in town quite a bit.
Yeah, actually, which is interesting because I thought really only preached there like...
Once a month. Times.
Yeah, once maybe, or maybe twice a month.
Now, hold on a minute, preacher. Now, just wait a minute. You're getting the wrong idea about us from somebody.
Yeah, the last thing we want to do is cause any hard feelings. We like this town.
That's right. The fact of the matter is there's a bank draft coming from St. Paul that's overdue. Or else we wouldn't owe anybody anything right now.
Well, that doesn't explain the outright sale of the lumber that you bought from Mr. Hansen.
Oh, no, sir. Doesn't. Bubba, you skip on outside for a minute, would you?
What for?
I want to talk to the preacher now. Get.
I'll make you a coffee. Chop the wood. What else you want me to do?
No.
So he gives him a long tale about...
Since the youngin' bearing up to something he can't handle.
I don't understand.
Well, it's his mama. Yeah, our ma. And we got word that she took... Terrible, terrible sick. It's right after we bought the lumber, too, wasn't it, George?
Like 2 days ago.
Near to dying, a man said.
I'm very, very sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you, preacher. And
so the guilt is just like, they're scamming. I mean, it's so... crazy how like they scam literally everybody. So they're like, yeah, we're gonna come to church. Let's see, we're at the school. Miss Beetle senses something's wrong, but I don't think she's doing a very good job at figuring out what it is.
Mary, are you all right?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not like you to sit through recess.
Kind of a crazy shot of her.
She has a really old looking hand.
I was just thinking her knuckles are kind of, you know.
That's actually insane.
Yeah. I don't want to look at him anymore.
You to sit through recess.
Sorry, Miss Beetle. Guess I just don't feel like playing.
Get that hand off the screen!
But I know, this is there. It's pretty funny as I put it on my notes that it's all like, Mary, how come you're not playing? And then like 2 years later, she's married.
Right. One season later, she's blown.
Yeah.
All right, so we have Willie and Laura in the middle of an Aggie match, a marble match, and Bubba the Love Sponge comes.
And like now he's all like on his arm and stuff. And
Laura Ingalls is trying to cheat my brother again.
Well, maybe I better get in this game.
You can't. It's too late. We're almost finished.
Looks like to me you're all through. I ain't got no marbles left.
Get your foot off. Those are my marbles.
Why didn't they use the joke like Laura's lost her marbles or something like that?
I don't see no marbles. Do you, Nelly?
It's a similar shot to what we got before with Miss Beetle. Like these up shots, which look really good with the, you know, sky. And
candy.
Yeah. It's a kind of wee.
Not part of them are mine. Hush, Willie.
Get your foot off.
Make me.
All right.
You know, make. Almost looks like they're rolling, like they're holding their, like, blunt.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
It's kind of. That's exactly what. That's really like funny. Doing.
Get your foot off.
Make me.
All right. You asked for it.
Laura!
So Mary's like, she can't see out of her right eye anymore. She comes running over, bumping into things.
Get down again. Your sister knows. Better listen to her.
I find this guy really disturbing with those type of, and he does it so well. Like you were writing in the notes, he plays a really good bully.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just exactly, he's almost like a female Nelly in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. Are you mean a male Nelly?
Oh, what did I say? A female Nelly?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to assume his gender. So.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to. I really don't want to get into any of that. Right here, it looks like they're both like about to hit it again.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs.
Most of those are mine.
Huh?
That's all right. I didn't want them anyways. I want to swing now, Bubba.
Bubba? Bubbaloo?
I almost cannot believe that Nelly is okay hanging out with someone named Bubba.
Yeah, or that, or what about the fact that Harriet is, you know, she's hanging out with Bubba and Harriet may know.
That's true.
I mean, wouldn't Harriet have an issue with that?
Right, because he's like really... Well, so like she had an issue with Luke Sims, right? And being like a pig farmer and stuff, but it's like...
Yeah, but they stole money from the mercantile, you know?
Yeah, no, right. But then I was going to say, like, these people are like way lower class than what God, Harriet would perceive of, like, you know, Luke and his father.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Sammy and Georgie are just kind of hanging out in the town, as you put
it. Yeah, so like life is pretty easy when all you do is steal from people.
Exactly.
A nice old town here. Church going, God fearing people. Think they may let us stay for a while, Sam?
Well, they ain't exactly ganging up on us. I don't see why not. A man can have everything he wants here.
I feel that way, like if I were to go back in time with like a gun, like I could take over the whole world, I feel like. Then it would gang up and kill me.
Just about everything.
He spies on Caroline.
You know, right now.
Which, by
I
the
like
way, let's go back to that route, which seems crazy. So she pops out. What is it with this road?
But she didn't park the wagon, right?
No, she walks, but. Where is she coming from? Is she just kind of pops out? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, you see the road right there.
Hmm.
But then she comes from, I guess it's like a side road. I don't know.
Do you think she came from over here? I feel like this is the logical way.
But it doesn't even like look like there's a road there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. But he sees her and immediately like, kind of a song goes off in his head, and he's like, maybe he's just in love with her. This is eating a dirty old carrot.
Excuse me, ma'am.
So this, I would say, is a top 10 most uncomfortable scene in all of Little House on the Prairie, right?
Yeah.
It's right up there with when the guy's with the corpse of his wife.
Mm. And, yeah. It is, and it's really unsettling too, because it's just like a really uncomfortable scene overall.
Mm-hmm.
And they're totally just like harassing her and bullying her.
And then grabbing, I mean, really.
Yeah, getting... no, really. And then it's like, if you like put yourself like in Caroline's position,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, I mean, these people, I mean, they're like despicable people, right? Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, when are they going to stop? Like, I mean, it's like.
Yeah, like, are they like about to rape her? Like, I mean, yeah, that's like kind of thing.
Yeah, no, really. Like, it's like, and they're just being the way that they are. You're like, it kind of seems like that's a possibility.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. And the whole thing, I mean, it's kind of, it's a, she shows like real fear in her eyes.
George Gallander. Those wouldn't be fresh eggs in that basket, would they?
Yes, they are.
Now, hold on.
Call me.
All I want to do is look at them eggs. Now, I expect us to buy them if we don't check them out first.
They're not for sale.
Now, how about that, Sam? Lady brings these eggs all the way into town. She don't want to sell them.
Don't hardly seem right to me.
Now, I asked you to let go of me. Now, please.
And Sam's, like, looking her up and down in a total creepy way.
Oh, now look what you've done.
That's too bad. Look at that.
It wouldn't be gentlemanlike of me if I didn't help you clean it up.
Here, let me give you...
Leave me.
Clean it up. I'm not cleaning this up. It's eggs. You let someone...
And you're outside.
you let a random dog come by and take care of this. But this is, like, right here, like, him touching her face. Holy cow. Like, I just would think that most... 99.9% of people would have a problem with this.
Right.
Hello.
Let me give you...
I mean, look at this. He's so creepy. Like, he's keeping his hand on it.
Take your hand off me!
I think she left her basket, by the way. Which...
And then they're all like, oh,
just free basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, where was that going? Like, what was the goal? To just steal the eggs?
Well, see, I don't know. That's when, I mean, I don't know.
So, yeah, she runs. Oh, she didn't leave the basket. Thank God.
That's a lot of shoulder movement when she runs. Yeah. Did you see that? It's like, choo, 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 choo.
A lot of kind of sashaying. Do it right now, everybody. Those are puff sleeves.
Yeah.
So Charles comes home, and we're not really sure why he's coming home. Right? Like, I feel like almost they should have had, like, Hanson see Caroline running.
Well, and it kind of almost, like, it makes you wonder, because it almost feels like there's kind of, like, something cut out here. Because she's like running home, and then suddenly like Charles is coming home, and then she like runs into the house, and then he's kind of like, hey, what's wrong? Like, and even that he's like calling after her makes it seem like he is coming after her, right? Because like otherwise, like if she just were coming home from the eggs and he happens to come home, he'd probably just park the horses and be like, hey.
Yeah, like,
but like he's like yelling after her, which makes it seem like he's coming after her, but then it's like, how would he even know that she's running away, because we didn't see him in town?
It's very strange. That music. So like all
loses
this.
The hat. So I was thinking it's crazy that he loses the hat when he's running there, which we've seen him in the wind how many times, and the hat stays on. So it's just crazy that the hat finally falls off.
What's the matter? Come on, what's the matter?
So this is like the scene where we're like, this is the car that we love.
I'm going to play it straight through. It is a really great, really well-acted scene, and the lighting is really good in this.
What's wrong with your skirt?
Oh, it's all right, Charles. I'm just fine.
You're crying. You're not just fine. What's wrong?
I broke the eggs.
All right, you broke the eggs. You're not this upset over the eggs. What happened?
It was my fault, Charles. If I just sold them the eggs like they wanted me.
You mean the Gallanders?
It was an accident. A simple accident.
What happened?
Oh, Charles. They stopped me. I didn't know what to do.
Why didn't you just keep walking?
I couldn't. They grabbed me.
The Gallanders put their hands on you? You answered me. They put their hands on you?
He's gonna kill her. He's choking her.
And then, go far.
So, all right, right here we get a really interesting shot. So I'm just gonna. All right, so I'm gonna play it in slow motion. It's a very Hitchcockian shot. So this happens when you have the camera on a track, mm-hmm. and what you do, and you've seen this in like Hitchcock movies, and mm-hmm. where you physically pull the camera back as you zoom in. Or you can mm-hmm. do the inverse of that. And you mm-hmm. get that kind of, like, crazy effect. So I'm just going to play it. Oh, wait. Because I'm using a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they had to have set up this shot. And it's, like, weird because it's only, like, a second long. But
right.
But you see, like, how close they are, and then...
Charles!
They even put her back in focus right before they cut. So weird. Like, maybe they expect... I guarantee that there's so much of this episode filmed somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and they just didn't have the time to release it. Like, you know, they were... Maybe it's going to be a two-parter? I don't know. This can't be a two-parter.
Well, there are a lot of two-parters.
I guess this would be better than some of the two-parters. So he goes into, well, it's weird. He does come into town, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I brought that up in the notes because then I was like, so it seems like the house is not in town, but then he crosses that bridge thing, which is in town. So then I'm like, I don't know, maybe it is really close to being in town.
So Charles shows up. And I think he should have had backup here. What do you think about that? I mean, he's a hothead and he's pissed, right? He's mm-hmm. like, you know, I just found out that you, you know, touched my wife. And in his mind, who knows what he's thinking?
Yeah. Well, and then really, he doesn't even know. So like when he's like, you know, the Gallanders put their hands on you, but mm-hmm. then it's like, he doesn't even know, like...
Where?
Right. So he has no information, which it's like, so they were touching, like, her face and stuff like that, which is, like, totally not okay. Totally
he would have... I mean, I think he would have freaked out at that, you know, if...
Right. And, well, right, which is, like, so that totally was not okay, but then it's just, like, he just knows that they put their hands on her, mm-hmm. but then it's, like...
He doesn't know if they groped her, like, you know...
Yeah, like it could have been a lot worse, right? And, like,
but I mean, he thinks it is worse, really. You know, in his mind.
Well, Mr. Ingalls, it's good to see you.
Maybe Charles did misinterpret it. No, I'm just kidding. According to the Reverend.
Oh, right.
This isn't a social call, Gallanders.
There's no way. This is like going to a shady Craigslist purchase. I'm not going in that shack. You can meet me at the McDonald's. I'm not going into your creepy house.
Huh. Well, that's a shame. We're just going to go in and sit down a spell.
I want to know which one of you put your hands on my wife today.
And we are getting kind of a...
I don't want you ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
That's the original clip. All right, I have to find the other one because I edited out like a little bit of the space. Because that's the way it is on the show, like on the movie. It's too much space
here. I don't want you ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
I mean, it's a lot.
Is that Mrs. Ingalls? Well, you're a lucky man. She's a mighty handsome woman. Soft, too.
Real soft, you said.
So, right here, his face. Charles is like Bruce Lee in some type of crazy scene here. He knows he's kind of surrounded.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of amazing what he does here. And I'm wondering if we should play it in slow motion after watching it in regular speed with music over it.
I think the answer is undoubtedly yes.
No music here. Is that kind of weird? There's no music.
That is weird.
It's almost like they made the scene just for us.
They're like, Mark and Kelly, what would you play here?
Get in here, George!
And then you get the music.
And then that little zoom up on his face is pretty funny.
So what should I play?
Let's see. So I think when they're at the house and Doc Baker, so this is of course his excuse.
The music to play.
Oh, the music. Yeah. Oh, duh. Okay. Duh. So I'm thinking, do we want to do Ass Blaster or do we want to do I'd Love to Change the World? Because I could go with either one of those.
All right, I'm gonna pick one.
It's like spin the wheel.
All right. But should it be in slow motion? Yeah, I guess it should be in
slow motion. Yeah, I think it has to be slow motion.
This look. This face.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
I'm gonna go into Ass Blaster. Population.
That's working.
I am the Ass Blaster, come to blast your ass. And don't you worry, because soon your time shall pass. But be prepared, because I'm going to blast your ass. I'm the ass blaster here to blast ass. Ass blast.
Oh, yeah.
Easy, lady. Blast ass. I'm the ass blaster sent here from the past. And catching up on all the asses that need blast.
Pork chop sandwiches.
I can bridge all the dreams you dare to cast. Oh, I'm the ass blaster here to blast some ass.
Well, you'd first better go talk to your papa, because if you remember, my brothers taught him real good how to belly crawl.
Ass blast.
I have never heard so many crybabies in my life.
Okay, so it's actually...
All right.
Oh, you're saying... how long that goes on for, like when you have it in slow motion.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow. To all of our listeners, you're welcome.
Yeah. That's string eclipse. Yeah,
that was interesting. So all right, we have Isaiah walking by and he sees Charles's wagon out of control and he's like, whoa.
Well, that's a funny shot too. Like when you see him just in the front, like trying to stop the horses.
No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, that in slow motion with that could be kind of funny.
Let's see. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. Pretty good. That was fun.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
So he's dead, which is crazy.
Well, I mean, he could be.
No, and it's just like could be dead. And you know, all right. So this is what I was saying. They have like the jaw harp music. I almost bought one of those jaw harps, and then I learned that because you bite down with your teeth on it, and they say that you can actually really mess up your teeth from it. I was like, what? And somebody's like, yeah, like metal slivers can go into your teeth. I'm like, I'm not messing around with that. Crazy. No, thank you. Maybe I can find a plastic one or something. All right, so we're in we're at Shirtless Pa.
Yeah, so this, of course, is his excuse for this episode to be shirtless.
Yeah. And if you listen in the background, you have very interesting stuff going on.
I want you to stay in bed. At least until Sunday, Charles. You've got 3 busted ribs there.
I'm glad to give you 3 more to work on if I just won.
You said something, Charles. We'll go up against roughnecks like them without a 2x4.
Charles is our sexy boy, isn't he? Yes.
Carol.
So this is very upsetting to me. And you, I believe.
Well, right. So this is the scene where you're like, Reverend, what is going on? I cannot believe that you're saying this.
Like, are you in the real world or is it just like, you know, too much pie in his head? And Charles is really angry.
All that Charles. Pie and tea just went to his head.
I'm so sorry this happened.
Well, maybe it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't butted in on Sunday.
Now, I don't think it's necessarily the Reverend's fault. Because it is his job to say, listen, let's give it a good chance. But I think he doubles down here, and I don't think it's fair. That's all.
I don't know what you mean.
Got something you want to see, Charles?
I mean, all your...
What?
My letter is T.
My letter is T. Soft words. They didn't work with the calendars, did they?
Well, Charles, faced with violence, they reacted with violence.
I don't want you ever, ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand? My letter is T.
What do you expect That's Charles to do? When a man's wife can't walk down the street safe from that pair. Carol, in that incident, is there any chance you might have misinterpreted the Gallander's intention?
Oh my God. I mean, thinking...
You're just like, you want to shake him. Like, it's like, what are you doing?
It's like Reverend goes, well, I've seen you run and you have this thing with your shoulders and maybe it's misinterpreted as a flirt.
Yeah, like maybe, were you asking for that attention?
Yes.
Come on, Reverend, those two are no good. Today is just a sample.
Charles, in all fairness, look at her puff sleeves.
Charles, you can't fairly judge the Gallanders unless you know their situation.
We've all seen Caroline run.
Jezebel!
Here we go again, huh, Reverend?
Is
just like on Sunday. Be strong, be charitable, turn the other cheek.
Talk.
Charles, believe me.
Don't start telling me there's good in all people.
Oh.
And this is where Caroline, like, she has this look on her face where they're just like, oh, crap.
This, like, no, you didn't. It's like, what?
But so help me, Charles, I cannot approve of what you did.
But he's not asking for free, you know, like.
Well, so here's the thing, like, he's not asking for the Reverend's blessing on wanting to beat up the Gallanders.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's like the Reverend is totally. Okay, he's not asking for your approval for what he did.
Right.
But also, you are not. You're going way beyond anything having to do with this fight, and you're actually thinking that Caroline, like, misinterpreted.
Yeah, I think.
Like, that is so, like.
I think the Reverend is doing something that I do accuse people of doing this, and they tend to put themselves into the role of a moral compass. And it's mm-hmm. like, you know what? We're all flawed. And just because you're the Reverend doesn't mean that you are the you have every answer, you know, mm-hmm. like, and yeah, it's like, it's just ridiculous to me.
Then we don't have anything else to talk about, do we, Reverend?
No pie? No tea?
As a customer, early, I get 2 cups of tea per visit.
per visit. He's like, well, I guess there's not going to be any coffee or tea.
No sugar tonight in my coffee.
wait, I have that here somewhere. I'll find it.
Don't you worry about a thing, Charles. I'll get me a plow handle by the time I'm done with them Gallanders. They'll be too sore to wear their hats. No sugar tonight
in my coffee. No sugar. All right, there you go. It's a little loud.
I want you to stay out of it.
You're my friend. You do the same for me.
You got your own family to take care of. This is my problem.
He's like, do you notice how my rib bandage really accentuates my pecs?
I've never seen such an even tan on a farmer.
Well, it's like, yeah. Is he plowing shirtless? Like, how is he so tan? Like, on his chest?
Yeah, he plows shirtless.
Yeah, kidding me? He must.
So I was wondering where the girls were, and they're just listening to the whole thing with Black Eye. And
which also, like, so Mary has never told him that it was Bubba that did it to him, right?
Right. I don't think we ever, that never comes out.
Yeah. So, like, I had thought of that, too. So we get Paw, like, really, because he's sticking up for Caroline, but then he also doesn't really know that Bubba
he would have killed all three of them.
Right.
And Isaiah would have.
Right.
And I feel like it was a missed opportunity.
This is my problem.
I don't get it. Like, it's my problem. I've got to take care of, you know, these two grown adults and with their kid.
I
can't ask for help. Like... All right. So let's see. Reverend goes to talk to Bubba, which is kind of, you know,
told me.
B-U-double-B-A. that's his name song.
Double Bubba.
B-U-double-B-A.
double Bubba.
Don't often to do that. Ain't proud of the way she took off of that drum.
All right, wait. Hold on.
Sorry. They ain't heard nothing from her in years.
Talking about his mother.
How'd you know about her anyway?
Well, they told me.
Did? Don't often to do that. Ain't proud of the way she took off of that drummer.
Ringo Starr.
Drummer?
Yeah, right after I was born. Left a note she's headed for California.
There was a message that Ringo actually put out about this, and he's like,
I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do.
No way.
That's the best thing in the world. I love
that. I need that clip for at work.
What about this?
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Way to tell, though. I ain't heard from her since.
I'm sorry. It was my mistake. Would you tell your brothers that I'll be looking forward to seeing them at church Sunday?
Sure will.
We're Jewish. So he just goes back. I'm surprised he's even chopping wood. You know, like, he seems like the kind of kid who, actually, if he wants to cook a meal, he probably has to chop the wood. Nobody else right. is going to. Let's see. Bubba is like, I know, I'm going to terrorize Mary over her tablet, which really makes no sense. I mean, he's just at this point just terrorizing her.
Well, look what I found.
Put that back. That's not yours, Bubba Calendar.
Oh, finders keepers.
Losers weepers.
Good one,
Nelly. Yeah, even though, like, looks at her like, yep, yep. Yeah.
Did you invent that?
Well, I don't see your name on it.
I saw him find it.
My name's right on the front. Now give it back.
You saying I can't read?
My letter is T. My sound is T.
Ta.
Ta. Ca. Ta. Cat.
When he says that thing.
Oops. You saying I can't read?
I'm just saying that you're not going to bully me or any other girl around here anymore.
That goes for me, too.
By the way, those little girls look like Carrie's age.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Carrie... Carrie's not in school yet, right?
She's not yet in school.
So they're standing up.
But my brothers taught him real good how to belly crawl.
Oh, wait, all right, so we missed it.
There comes a time when people have to stand up for what's right. We're not backing down to you anymore.
Well, you'd first better go talk to your papa, because if you remember, my brothers taught him real good how to belly crawl.
That sounds terrible. Hurt.
It's funny how Laura thinks, like, she was just like, I'm going to get in on this too.
Well, and then you had pointed out earlier that it's crazy that they had him hitting Mary. Like, he's just, like, hitting this girl. And then here he's, like, totally going after her, like, trying to, like, really beat her up. Like,
beat the crap out of her.
Yeah.
Like, all right, girls, pick up a stick or something. I mean, your powers combined, you can beat him. Is that the ice house in the back?
It is.
I never noticed the said ice. Mary's actually doing a pretty decent job. You know, I was thinking this thing that Nelly's holding would be a pretty good weapon.
Mm.
I mean, he's like dragging the crap out of her. You know, it'd be kind of funny to put a Subway sandwich place back there.
Yeah, like instead of the ice house.
Yeah. This is little kid. He's just like, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah. And then, so of course, we've had other times, like with Bart Slater, for example, where all the kids like kind of gang up and beat up on him. What is with them having like blonde boys with feathered hair, like terrorizing the schools?
And I really felt like this was the end. Like, this was going to be, like, turned a new leaf, and this was going to be the end scene.
Mm.
Like, the way this all goes.
Let's get him, Laura! Come on!
And it's like... and they kill him. I don't know, I just feel like this is like an end shot for them. But it's not. Charles is like, I'm such a loser. My ribs hurt.
Good night.
Good night, girls.
I'm sorry about today, Ma.
It's all right. What you said, it sounds like you couldn't avoid it.
Reverend Alden sure to think that we were wrong too, huh?
Maybe. Charles is like, you know, with half of one of those edibles and this new strain that I'm smoking, I don't even notice the pain anymore.
You're not. You won.
Charles.
Sounds to me like they taught somebody a lesson.
I learned one, too. That if you stand together, you don't have to be afraid.
She sure wasn't. You should have seen her laying it on to that old Bubba.
Laura, thing to have a fight. It's another to be prideful about it.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you girls better get in the house where you get a chill.
I don't know where you wanted to put it, but I would say that Bubba, this would be a pretty good quote for Bubba.
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
Well, I was actually, it was funny you played that because I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I think that at the end of the episode when they're driving them out of town.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Good night, Paul.
Good night.
This is a fun little moment with Caroline.
Laura, she really socked him a good one, huh?
She sure did, Ma.
She sure did. I think I better have her doing my fighting for me.
Yeah, I kind of like that little moment, too, because it's kind of one of those things where it's like she was all like, oh, Laura, we shouldn't be, like, you know, happy that we're fighting people. Yeah. And it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, like when your kid does something that is like not supposed to be funny, but it is funny. You know, like you don't want them to know that you think it's funny, but then you're actually like, oh, that was pretty hilarious.
Look at that prairie mountain.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really tall.
It's like 500 feet high or something. All right. So we come into town for church, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, and Charles sees them, calls them good Christians. And you point out that Isaiah's got a pretty nice suit on.
But his and old, a stinky dirty old hat.
Morning!
Like, what is the deal with that? I mean...
Yeah, it's just... Morning, it's Mr. terrible.
Edward. Hello, Mary.
Morning, Mr.
There
Edward.
You go. Come on, Carrie.
There you go.
Good morning, good morning, Mr. Edward.
How are you?
Hello.
Carrie's pretty, like, talkative in this episode, and you can understand her.
Yeah, not bad. The bully boy is coming out.
As I pointed out, too, I think that Paul's real problem with him is that he has his shirt unbuttoned halfway down his chest.
Who, Charles?
No, the bully boy, Sam Gallander. Bully. As we see him walking up, and his shirt is unbuttoned down his chest.
Yeah, you're right.
And
he's shown
Charles
quite a bit.
Is like, there is only room for one of us in this town.
And he's wearing kind of a hat that's very similar to Charles.
This is new paw.
New paw. It's the Equate version of paw.
Yeah. Great value brand paw.
This is where it's like, you know, you have like things written about each student. Like, you know, Laura smells like fish. So let's see. We all sit down in church.
Good morning. With your indulgence, I would like to dispense with a hymn and go directly to my subject this morning. Heaven and hell. Sometimes we forget, in our contemplation of our reward in heaven, that there even is a hell. But we might do well this morning to remember that hell has a purpose too.
So that's when he says it that I think it's weird. It's almost like not in sync with the mouth. Just watch it right here.
Is a hell.
Right here.
But we might do well this morning to remember that hell has a purpose too.
That's true. Well, it kind of is a little bit off.
Yeah, it's weird. Like almost like he was going to say something else. I don't know. Something is weird with that.
And the devil doesn't sit down there all by himself.
It'd be kind of funny if he just like goes and be like, he sits down there with Bubba Gallander or something.
I've told you that there's good in all people. But that doesn't mean that all people lead good lives.
Bubba's yawning, like openly yawning right in front of his face.
There are those who lie, who steal, who abuse those around them. Last week.
So he basically just goes in a whole lecture. I mean, we know the story. So the bully boys start calling out what happened.
Like, no nobility will defend us against those who do his bidding.
Reverend, all that talk about the devil, you wouldn't be slurring me and my brothers, would you?
More than that. It's strange that it took the children of this town to teach us the lesson. We are a town. We're a community. We're a congregation.
And Isaiah's like, I'll slit your throats right now. Won't be the first people I killed.
No man should have to stand alone against those who do the devil's work.
What are you planning to do, preacher?
I intend to see you out of this church and out of this community.
Sweating.
That's pretty hard words, but it looks to me like you're still standing pretty much alone.
Yeah, so the guest was pretty awesome. But this is where, so earlier the Reverend was infuriating, but this, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then, like, people are probably like, best week at church ever.
Yeah. Remember that time in church?
Yeah. When the Reverend was like totally slamming people up against the wall.
Best part of it, we didn't have to sing.
Yeah. Well, the women did.
Oh, right.
All right. We'll be out of here by nightfall.
You'll go now. And you'll take only those things you brought with you. Maybe next time you'll think twice.
Who's this girl in the back? Seems snooty.
Or you take advantage of decent people.
Tell them we'll do it, Sam. We'll do it.
All right.
But we'll be back as the younger brothers.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I say you make an end.
Amen, River. Let's go. Okay.
And then that's kind of funny. You see Nell's like fanning Harriet, like she's all like upset about it.
She got the vapors.
Carolyn, if you'll lead the ladies in a hymn, we'll be right back.
Ass blaster.
Yeah, it's like. Actually, it's very funny. Wait.
He's in a hymn. We'll be right back.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs.
And it's like, you get further and further. And more.
When the twig is bent, it can never grow straight.
I've never heard that music anywhere else on the show. Right? Yeah.
I mean, we have some pretty interesting kind of music in this episode. And yeah, overall, I think it's a pretty good episode. I think it's a really good Michael Landon episode, which is what I was kind of thinking when I picked this like many months ago to talk about on Landon Nation.
People, I think it's pretty good. I think people look at this episode as one that, because it doesn't, you think it doesn't involve the entire town, but it does. It's, you know, I think also people confuse Bully Boys with other episodes. Just, you know, ones that don't have as much to do with the entire town. Yeah, I like this. I thought it was a good episode. It was fun. And we got to play a lot of clips.
Did you say watermelon?
You know? And, yeah, so thank you, Kelly. Thank you for doing this episode. People should head on over to Landon Nation. Yeah. If I have echo, where can I find the echo?
Your
whoops. That's not the echo.
Landon Nation.
nation! And all this.
Oh, you're not the law.
Not the law. I'm the law.
Kelly. So, yeah, so people should head on over to landonation.com. Also, Facebook group Landon Nation or Walnut Grovecast. But people should definitely head over to prairiereview.com, which is just, you know, pumping out a ton of these amazing. It's like if The Onion had existed in the 1860s, 1880s.
Right.
I was confusing like the 1860s with the Dr. Quinn, but yeah. Mm. So the 1880s or 1870s. Yeah, definitely check out Prairie Review and all of the stuff that we do. Tons of stuff. Yes. Dr. Quinn cast.
Very good time.
Very good time. But yeah, thank you so much. And I'll just...